Welcome to episode 23 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Okay, so, thanks to the wonders of technology, this week's show is coming to you in my absence, as I'm currently somewhere out there in the wilds, most likely on a windswept mountain or scrambling up a rock face, or maybe paddling along a vast expanse of water. In fact, more accurately, by the time you do hear this, I'll be on my way back from 6 days of outdoor activity, which has involved taking photographs and testing kit up in Keswick in the Lake District. In this episode then, I'm talking you through the equipment and considerations involved in preparing for my trip away. It's the night before I head off and my bags are almost packed. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 23. It's just about 9 o'clock, in fact 9:10 in the evening, and I am preparing for a trip to Keswick in the Lake District. I'm going actually tomorrow morning, travelling up on the train, and what I'm doing up at Keswick is testing some kit with a particular manufacturer. I'm also doing some podcasting, I'm testing some other odds and ends for other brands who have supplied their kit for me to review. And I'm also obviously taking some photographs for myself, for my stock library of images, but also just, as a general stock, but also stuff that's going to be featuring on the Active Photographer along the way. So what I thought I'd do is just do these last few odds and ends and talk you through what I've got in front of me as I do this. So again, what I'm trying to do is keep it nice and simple. Not too much kit to carry around and what have you. So what I've got here is in front of me just a standard, nothing special about it. It's a standard roller case, sort of hold all, the sort of thing that you'd use for a sort of a long weekend away. Now, by the time you guys listen to this, I will be back from Keswick. I'm going up on the on the Wednesday, and I'm coming back on the Monday. So the same day that the Active Photographer goes live, I'll be returning. This bag, therefore, contains a number of items which I need for the, essentially for the week or almost week ahead. And it's not all just to do with photography, and it's not all just to do with walking. So I've got a really old, probably from the 80s, Coalmaster sort of knapsack, I suppose you'd call it. It's very lightweight, very thin, it's not waterproof, nothing like that. Had it for years. I think I picked it up at a charity shop or something along the way. Barely use it. But in there, just to keep everything else sort of clean and tidy, I've got a pair of Gore-Tex gaiters, knee length, so that if the weather does turn against us, then the lower half of my legs there are dry. But in the rest of that bag, I've got some walking boots, I've got some climbing shoes because I'm also going climbing, and I've got some sandals. They're not sandals in the traditional sense, as in leather and what have you. They're sort of, I don't know, sports sandals. But probably worth mentioning, the activities that I'm taking part in at Keswick, it's basically the Keswick Mountain Festival, and it's a place for people that are interested in outdoor sports, outdoor activities, everything from kayaking to climbing to even photography. There are workshops and things going on to do with photography. I'm going to be walking up Scarfell Pike, which is a rather tall, is either a hill if you like to think in terms of hills, or it's a mountain if you like to talk in terms of mountains. Anyway, I'm going to be walking up there. Another day along the way, I'm also going to be kayaking, and I'm also going to be climbing as well. So in that bag, I have walking boots, sandals that are suitable for in a kayak, and also my climbing shoes, because I used to do a bit of climbing, and I've got my ball of chalk in there as well, that sort of thing. Anyway, I'm not going to dwell too much on clothing because that's not what you guys are interested in. But just very briefly, I've got a roll-top stuff sack. You guys know that I'm a big fan of those. They keep the water out, keep everything dry inside. That's got socks and underwear. Let's not dwell on that. I've got a what's this? Like a mesh bag which has got a couple of flasks in it, a full size flask, and also a Berghaus receptacle, I think we call it, which has got a spoon in the top. So if I want to have some sort of a soup or something to take with me, wash bag, sort of flannel towel, all the rest of it. I've got a pair of mittens which were knitted by my good lady, who you guys have come across in the past when we were in the Bluebell Woods. Those are my photo mitts. They have no fingers on them or thumbs, so it gives me lots of flexibility for holding the camera and changing lenses, what have you. I'm hoping it's not going to be too necessary to use those, but you never know. I've also got a neck warmer here, and I've got my waterproof trousers. I've also got a Paramo smock jacket, which is really good. And then I've got one big stuff sack at the bottom, which has got t-shirts, trousers, other bits and bobs like that. Now, one thing to mention about the t-shirts, when I'm at public events, when I'm photographing at public events, even sometimes when I'm just going to places that are maybe trade shows that I'm not actively working, I'm actually just sort of having a wander around, sort of talking to people, I always, I say always, there's a time recently when I actually forgot all about it, but normally what I would do is wear branded clothing. Now, you know me, I don't like to sort of show off and shout about it. This is very simple. I've just had some new t-shirts made. They're just a basic standard t-shirt. They've got my little logo on the front, which you guys know is a hand-drawn camera design. You will have seen it on the top of my beanie hat in the videos, that sort of thing. But those are in the bag. Those are ready to go. So when I'm out and about in front of people and I'm taking pictures, again, it's just spreading the word, making people aware of the active photographer. A lot of people that are involved, probably like a lot of you guys that are listening, a lot of people that are involved in the outdoor community, whatever their activities might be, they also love photography because the two go hand in hand. It's really nice to document what you're doing with the camera. So I've got my branded clothing in there as well. To top it all off, into this hold all, I have got, let's put this in here now. This is a Berghaus rucksack. I can't even remember what this one is called. I would like to find out though to tell you guys, because I know a lot of you like this sort of thing. It's a Verden, V-E-R-D-E-N, 45 plus 8 litres. So the main compartment is 45 litres, and then it's got plus 8 expansion in there as well. That sort of size sack you're going to be using for longer trips, sort of long weekend trips, that sort of thing. For the day trips, like going up Scarfell Pike, possibly, you know, a lot of people say it's a little bit big, but bear in mind that as well as having lunch in there and a flask, what have you, I'm also going to be taking my camera kit as well. The only other thing that's going just in the top of here, I'm hoping it's going to be nice weather, but to complement, I've got a couple of fleeces in the bag as well. Just in case things do get a little bit chilly, I've got a North Face gilet sleeveless down coat. It's not necessary to have the full length sort of full arm version, but that thing, you know, it takes a little bit of sort of drizzle if it starts to rain a little bit. It's not too bad, but you know, if it gets that bad, I'll just put the smock on sort of over the top or what have you, or I can even just, you know, under shelter switch over. Anyway, that's all that. Let's not dwell on that anymore. What I've got here are some more roll top sacks, and I'm just going to literally roll those up. What I tend to do is lay everything out in front of me, see what I've got, and decide what I'm going to need, because of course you're not going to want to take anything more than is necessary. So what I've got are several sizes here. I've already used a few. This one is a, what's this? This is a extra small, and then I think, oh, maybe I've got a mix there, size medium on that, and this other one here is an extra large. It's what's called a fold dry bag, and this is made by a company called Exped, who, again, I don't endorse their products other than to say that I really like them and I found them really useful, and you guys might like to have a look and see for yourselves. I'll put a link in the show notes. So those, I'll probably chuck those in as well, because, you know, with all these things, when I put stuff in my rucksacks, they are, this particular rucksack, the Berghaus, it's not waterproof. It'll take a shower and what have you. It does have a cover that pulls out. But, you know, if you're, things like a flask, I always put a flask inside a stuff sack, because if the seal breaks, it becomes loose, what have you, it contains everything. Anyway, let's get on to the important stuff. I'm going to open up one of my Pelly cases. You guys have heard me talking about this quite a lot in the past. First one here, and these are both my Pelly cases, my day-to-day ones are the 1510 cases. Now, I'm going to keep things really sort of simple, really kind of, I can't be taking a lot of weight. We're going to be able to leave my main hold all, obviously, sort of where we're staying, that's fine, but when I'm out and about, I'm not going to be taking a lot of weight with me. So what I'm going to do first of all is, I've got one case open, which is my grip grip case. That's got things like some stands in here, I've got super clamps, pocket wizards, all that sort of thing, spare batteries. So I'm thinking on my feet here, because I've only given this a bit of thought already, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take two packs of batteries, and that gives me 16 batteries. I'm going to take two pocket wizards for the remote firing of flash guns. That's fine there. Do I want... Yeah. Okay, I'm going to take this little light modifier, this diffuser. You guys will see this hopefully quite soon. I've got a couple of videos that need to be put up onto YouTube and onto the Active Photographer website, just some behind-the-scenes stuff. This is basically a tiny... it's less than 12 inches across. It's probably about 8-10 inches across by about, I don't know, 6 deep. It's basically a small soft box that folds absolutely flat, goes on front of a flash gun, and that diffuses the light, softens it, so it's quite nice. I'm not going to be taking big soft boxes or umbrellas, that sort of thing. I haven't got the time to do loads of intricate photography, but there are a few people that I'm meeting with, and people that I'm hoping to meet with, that if I do want to have the have a bit of lighting, I want to keep it sort of off camera, and I want to keep that absolutely simple, but I still want to soften it. So we've got the diffuser there. I'm also going to take a grid here, which is actually it's a homemade grid. Basically, a grid will allow you to focus the light coming out of your flash gun, just concentrate it more, so you get sort of a nice pool of light falling on the subject. This one, again, you know, it's homemade. This is using I always sort of forget what exactly this is called. It's basically, if you guys have ever had prints come back from your from a printing lab, you'll know that rather than using bits of cardboard to pack out and protect the prints, they use this kind of square, it's about sort of 2 mil thick, sort of hollow or honeycomb sort of plastic sheeting. And what I've done is just cut up a load of that, wedged about, let's see, what have I got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, about 15 of these things, just stack them one on top of the other, put that into, again, with the same material, boxing it in and gaff tape around it. This then slides over the front of the flash gun and it's done. Again, all the information to make all this DIY stuff, it's not glamorous, it's not, it costs pennies, you know, this is essentially reclaimed from materials that I've recycled because they've been sent to me when I've had prints sent back from the lab, just a bit of gaffer tape. I think the original design for this was shared on strobis.com. Again, I'll share the link. And again, it just makes a heck of a difference just to soften the light, and maybe one day I'll do a little sort of how-to, or sort of like a video or a blog post about that. So it doesn't take up much space. I think I'll pop that in as well. But apart from that, I'm not going to worry with anything else. In fact, I'm not even going to take a stand with me, a separate lighting stand, I think, because weight is important, or rather trying to keep weight down. No, that's going to be everything from there. So I'm going to shut that case down and put that to one side. And so I just can't be taking loads of kit because, A, I don't want to lug it through. I've actually decided to take the train rather than driving, A, because it's cheap enough. And very luckily, or very kindly, my expenses are being paid for by the company that is asking me to come up and test their kit. And also, if I'm doing 3 days, basically I'm having a few days just doing photography, networking, talking to people, just, you know, doing odds and ends. If I'm then doing 3 days of activity in a row, sort of walking a big mountain or hill, sort of kayaking and climbing, I'm going to be pretty tired by Monday. So I don't really fancy a long drive back when I'm exhausted. I just would much rather sit on the train, relax, and think about how things are panning out the following week. So, and also just on that point, on the way up there, you know, it's a few hours. I think it's about, I'm going to check this later, but I think it's about 5 or 6 hours. So basically that's going to give me time to sit and think about content for the active photographer, people I've got contact on the way or on the way back, or what have you. Anyway, that's a separate issue. So I've got in the case here a number of camera bodies and a number of lenses, this, that and the other. What I'm going to do is grab my Nikon D3. It's the only camera body I'm going to be taking, or certainly the only SLR camera. I'm going to just limit myself to two lenses. I don't think I'm going to have much need for an ultra wide angle lens, because if I did decide that I wanted to do a panoramic picture, I can just stitch a number of images together. On that point, always worth bearing in mind, this is something I picked up a tip not long ago actually. If you're shooting pictures which you're going to be stitching together to make, you know, bigger, wider panoramics, much better to shoot them vertically than horizontally. Try it and you'll find that it actually makes things a lot easier. So worth bearing in mind. The second lens, or rather the first lens I'm going to take, is my trusted 24-85 macro. You guys are well familiar with that now because you've seen it in all sorts of places, and I've mentioned it in probably about 80 or 90% of the location recordings I've put out there for you. So that's going as well. I'm also taking, let's just double check this. Okay, yeah, I'm going to be taking the 80-200 f/2.8 telephoto lens. Again, old lens, but very sharp, very nice and quick. And what I'm going to take, and I had this just now, here we go, it's up here. I'm going to be taking the 2x converter, and there is a clue in the name. 2x converter, basically, if you put it on behind the lens that you're using, it doubles the focal length. So, very crudely put, if I had my 80-200 and I put that behind it, it basically extends the focal length, so I'm then shooting a 160-400mm lens. Now, there are considerations with this. The 2x converter actually loses you 2 f-stops of light. That's just one of the trade-off points that you have. So, because of the D3, again, being able to handle with the higher ISOs really well, it's not such an issue now. With the older cameras, it would have been maybe more of an issue. But as a result, I'm basically at the top end, I would be shooting a 400mm f5.6, which is still, you know, pretty fast. For those of you that, obviously, if you maybe haven't sort of followed that, or you're not quite sure what I'm talking about, again, I can, if you'd like me to, I'll go over this another time and explain it. But basically, 2 f-stops of light, you've got your aperture ring, the aperture scale, so you'd be going f2.8, f4, 5.6, 8, 11, 16, 22. Now, 2 stops of light down from f2.8 because of the light. Basically, what it is because you've got extra glass for the light to travel through, it absorbs that light. So technically, it's darker image coming into the lens. So from f2.8, you automatically drop past f4 down to f5.6. But if I want to be shooting, I don't know, mountaintops, because it's a very mountainous area, or if I'm at the top of a hill and want to be shooting down through a valley or something, a telephoto lens compresses perspective, and it's a really useful technique. You guys might have seen pictures, for example, a steep street going downhill and with the sea in the distance, and it looks, to all intents and purposes, as if there is a boat coming up the high streets, I've certainly seen pictures like that. They're often black and white. They're sort of old, shot in the 40s or 30s or what have you. They're out there. Have a look at them and see what you think. But again, you can compress perspective really dramatically. But again, something to watch out for, because you don't always want to do that. But there we go. So basically what I've got in front of me now then, one camera body, two main lenses and a 2x converter. And I'm going to take one flash gun, which is a Nikon SB800. I'm going to take a camera strap as well. In my pouches here, I'm going to take what I've got. I've got sort of a pen knife with a screwdriver and what have you. A lot of people use a Leatherman tool, something like that. And I'm going to take a little LED light torch and a mini Sharpie. Not the full length pens, but Sharpie minis are really good. They write on pretty much all surfaces. I'm also going to take, let's have a look here. I've got a USB cable. I'll explain a bit about that in a minute. I'm then going to have a lens, whoops, if I can get at it, a lens pen, which is basically for cleaning grime off the front of the lens. And then I'm going to take one sort of what we call a foot for the flash. That's what the flash sits on, so you can sit with it remotely. Nothing else I need, because actually, yes, there is. I need a spare battery for the camera. Never forget to take a spare battery for your camera. Anyway, that's basically it. So put that to one side. Right, yeah. So USB lead, because I'm going to be taking my laptop as well, which is not a full-size laptop, nor is it a netbook. It's a Toshiba, and it's kind of in between the two. It's compact, but it's powerful enough to handle Photoshop and run images. So for example, if we're sitting down at the end of a day, and we're talking about stuff that we've shot through the day, stuff we're reviewing, or if I just happen to get a really excellent shot which I really want people to see, then it's there and everyone can see it. Out of this other bag, there's, let me see what else I've got here. Spare USB cable, just because it's always good to have a spare one. There's also the little cradle for my audio recorder to sit on. And that's that. Now, of course, the other thing is, and you guys know that I hark on about this enough, it's all very well taking this stuff, but you're going to want to make sure it's protected while you're out and about. So, let's see what I've got here. I'm not taking big photography rucksacks. I'm going to take a little pouch here, which is Low Pro pouch, which is mesh, and it's designed to take a bottle of water or something if I'm out and about and it's thirsty work. I'm going to take my Camera Care Systems padded pouch to put my D3 and 24-85 attached in it. I've got a little Aquapac roll top waterproof pouch. It's not the rucksack that you guys know I have spoken about in the past, but this is basically just going to be keeping sort of smaller items in there. That's all I need, I think, because yeah, that's going to have odds and ends. I'm also taking a remote cable for the flash, so that if I can't or don't want to use my Pocket Wizards remotely with the flash, this thing has a hot shoe adapter. Basically, you clip it into the this is the SC29. You put one end of it onto the hot shoe of the camera, the other end has the flash sitting on it, and it's just got a long, you probably can't hear this, it's just a long springy cable, and it means that you can hold the flash as far away as you can, usually within arm's length, and that's really good to have as well. Again, if I'm up on the hillside, I haven't got time to mess around with setting up Pocket Wizards and all that, then that's going to be that's just going to be really handy. So we are almost there. That's odds and ends. I've got a pouch here, or a case with some spare memory cards in. I've already got the batteries for the Pocket Wizards. What else have I got here? I'm going to take the Black Rapid RS Sport harness or strap, which you've probably heard me talk about. I'll be talking about that in more detail in the future. I'm also going to be putting up a test review for that, so if you want to find out more, you can. I'm going to bring the pouch over that is usually for my audio recorder. Just put it in place so that I know it's there. I've got my trusty G9 Canon there, which is going to be used for possibly some video, but just behind the scenes little snaps maybe. Ah, the other thing I mustn't forget, I'm not taking a tripod. I was due to be getting, and I won't give you too much information at this point, but I was due to be getting a small, really nice, ultra-portable carbon fibre tripod to be using this coming week. Long story short, hasn't quite happened, but it should be here by the time I get back, which is really good. So, not going to mess around with tripods and stuff. I'm going to be taking my Manfrotto monopod, which is an old, battered-up one now. It is... Oh, crikey. They have... That's a serial number. This, I believe, if they still do it, or if they maybe do a similar... Well, they will do a very similar one. This is a 479-4B. I assume the B stands for black. So, yeah, monopods, really good compromise for steadying the camera. The only thing I might take is a very small tripod, which... I don't know, it's the one that, if you remember when I was up in the woodlands during the, with the snow, I mentioned about that as a slick tripod. It's really not that sturdy, not that strong. I only really use it for the behind the scenes stuff with the G9, but I'm really, because I'm trying to keep, you know, not weighting down too much, I'm just not sure whether I'm going to take that. But that, guys, is basically it. I've got all this stuff laid out in front of me, it all just needs to be packed away into pouches. The only other things here, you can hear this. There you go, that's my little alarm clock. Make sure that I get up on time. Got all my documents that I need here. Ooh, a couple of secret items in these pouches, which I'm not telling you about, because those are going to be tested and featured later. Sunglasses, business cards. Got some keys here, some cash. I got my notebook, my diary, because, you know, it's a networking opportunity, and the guys that I'm dealing with, we're testing stuff out, we're going to be obviously planning various things, so I need to keep on track of that. That, my friends, is pretty much it. And looking at the timing of this, we're just coming up to about 25 26 27 minutes, so I'm going to leave it there. Hopefully that's given you another insight into what goes into, you know, sort of going away on a shoot. Sometimes I take more kit, sometimes I will need to drive if I'm taking lots of lighting kit. On this occasion, I'm just going pretty light. This may sound a lot, but it really isn't. I mean, I could probably shave off a few of these items, things like the pocket wizards and what have you. But, you know, a lot of it's going to be sort of left back at base. It won't be going up onto the hillside or with me every day, so it's not going to be a problem. And the fact is, all I've got to do is take this wheelie case through the train station, put it onto the train and sit down, and then at the other end it goes into a car and we drive off to the location. So it's not a big deal on this occasion. So again, any questions you might have, you know, I say this every week, but you know, it's true. It's all here to be shared. If there's anything I've mentioned that you're wondering about, anything I've mentioned or anything you'd like to hear. I mean, I talk to you guys a lot on Twitter and Facebook, and I'm always saying if there's anything that you want to hear, anything you want me to elaborate on, then let me know, because that's what it's about. And, you know, it drives me to give you bigger and better content and maybe do some more videos. And I look forward to sharing all of that. So I'll leave it there. I'll look forward to getting up nice and early in the morning for my train. And as I say, by the time you guys are hearing this, I will be hopefully sitting down with a nice cup of tea and looking at some really nice pictures and audio that I've recorded over the past week. So let's leave it there. Like I say, I'll be sharing a whole load of new content with you over the coming weeks, some of which will have been shot and recorded during my hectic few days away in Keswick. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget, I'm on Twitter, @GilesBabbage. You can check out my Facebook page, Giles Babbage Photography, or of course, as ever, you can send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.